And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga back with you for a mailbag edition. A great guest, as always. And Nick, of course, NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by our good friends over at Skip. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. The official food delivery app of the NHL. You talk about deliveries. Have we got a delivery for all of you fine listeners today? One of our favorite guests from Dangle Betselli, the FTN Network. It is Chris Meany. Means Happy New Year. Is it too late to say Happy New Year, by the way? We haven't talked to you since 2022.
No, I don't think so. Two of my favorite people here. Love chopping it up with you guys. And no, I mean, it's January 12th. You know, we haven't chatted, you're right, since the new year. So Happy New Year to both of you guys, all your listeners out there, all your viewers. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Always great to have the big three reunited. And you could say the same thing about the Carolina Hurricanes right now, Chris, right? With this crazy situation going on. They were on that great point streak. Now they're reeling a little bit, but it sounds like they could get Freddie Anderson back from injury as early as Thursday. So really nice opportunity for him to maybe reaffirm himself as their number one option, especially with Kochetkov struggling a little bit lately after the hot start. But like my question to you, Chris, is like, do you view Freddie Anderson in his contract year as a top 10 fantasy goalie for the rest of the season?
I think he has upside to be a top 10 goalie. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, especially the team that he plays for, Carolina, 5-5. I mean, they dominate the puck. Over the last 6 weeks at 5-5 per 60, according to Natural Stat Trick, this is a team that's first in shot attempts, shots near the top in high danger chances, scoring chances, expected goals. So, you know, you got a really good team in front of them, but I don't know. I don't think I'm there. I feel like they ease him back in. You mentioned, you know, the struggles with the rookie, and then you got Antti Raanta in there, who's, you know, capable as well. Also another guy that probably can't handle a full workload. So all of a sudden you got three goalies, right? That, you know, Rod Brendamore is going to have probably rotate through some of these guys, and then eventually he's going to have to pick one. Is Anderson the guy that's going to bring them the Stanley Cup? I don't know. I don't know if I'm completely sold on that. I think, you know, you can certainly probably scan your waiver wire, maybe pick him up. I don't think he should be hanging around waiver wires because of the team that he plays for. Maybe you have a Carolina duo. Maybe you have one of the other two, and then, you know, you have Anderson, and you just rock the Hurricanes tandem and net the rest of the way in fantasy, and you probably get 25 wins at least the rest of the way. So I don't know, guys. I'm not sold. In fact, I would probably sell high on him just on name value alone.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I don't know how you sell high on the guy when he's been hurt the entire year. This Fair. Is like a, you know, a familiarity every year, I would say, with Freddie Anderson. You just don't know what you're going to get. It is a contract year, so I did expect him to show up for the second half. I'm just throwing stones here on the podcast today. No, he's a really good goalie. Like, again, I think there's opportunity. I think obviously he's on a good team, and I think his fantasy value can skyrocket. But Pete, it's just intriguing to me that you look at Carolina. They've been through this rodeo of a three-headed goalie monster, and it seems like they're headed down this path again. Didn't they learn something from a couple of years ago in the Alex Nedeljkovic situation?
Maybe they did, but you know, they have Kochetkov, who has really been a stud outside of the past couple of games when his workload has changed, when Raanta peaked a little bit. Now Raanta may have tweaked something, it sounds like. So maybe that'll narrow the gap a little bit. But with Freddie, just want to remind people that last year before his injury near the tail end of the regular season, he was, you know, bar none, top five goalie in the league, maybe even higher than that. So, and, you know, trace it back to the playoffs last year, Chris. They did not get over the hump. Remember, they were struggling on the road in those different series against the Bruins and the Rangers, and they fell flat in game seven because of some injuries, but Anderson didn't play for them at all in the playoffs. I can't help but think that between this Pacioretty return, you know, some different wrinkles compared to last year, if you're looking at their futures appeal, and Freddie Anderson, I think they would have won that Rangers series had he been healthy.
Yeah, and again, he does have the highest ceiling of the three. He probably gives them the best chance to win the cup because he has been through it, right? He does have a solid resume, and you're right about Pacioretty. And I think the three of us have had this conversation before on what he would bring to this team when he was in the lineup, and already through three games. I mean, this is a guy that's got three goals, six shots in his first game, five shots in his last game. He's a volume shooter. Seth Jarvis looks pretty good on that line as well. I mean, he's not picking up a lot of points, but the chemistry seems to be there over the last three games. He's putting pucks on net. The whole veteran Paul Stastny, I don't know how long he sticks inside the top six, but he's shown them more than Jasperi Kotkaniemi here this season, and he's playing with two volume shooters in Natchez and Svechnikov. So this Hurricanes team, I mean, they got Tivo right now on the fourth line. They're rolling four lines. Tivo, Teravainen probably gets a bit of a boost when we get deeper into the season, but this is a team that they're legitimate Stanley Cup contenders, and Pacioretty puts them over the edge.
Personally, I'm elated to have Pacioretty back in the mix strictly for the shot props. At plus money right now, by the way, over 3.5. He gets about 18 a game, does Max Pacioretty. Okay, guys, I want to get into Patrick Kane. I won't lie. So this is a guy I have in a keeper league right now. I think a lot of people listening and watching out there feel the same way. I'm starting to wonder, you know, hearing from some of the insiders, namely Elliot Friedman, if we're not rolling this back to next year, because it sounds like he's dealing with something. He's been out the last couple games. There's been hinting that it needs some further clarity, aka maybe a procedure or surgery. So Chris, I ask you this, what would you do if you own Patrick Kane right now? How hesitant are you not to just fade off and throw him away right now?
Yeah, I probably would. About a month ago, I was thinking, would he be worth your time if you bought low? If you were up near the top of your fantasy hockey standings, you can afford to take on that risk, because if he was traded anywhere, I mean, immediately he'd be, I'd say, top 15, because he still has a lot to offer. It's just his line mates. He's not playing with really anybody. He has a career low shooting percentage, and now he's hurt. If you don't have an IR plus in your fantasy hockey league, if you're in a Yahoo setting where, you know, you probably have an IR plus, but there's a lot of like high stakes leagues, you know, you just have to hold these guys. There's no IR plus. They're just wasting away on your bench. I don't think you can afford to hang on to him. And it's too bad, because it looked like he was starting to get going. Three goals in his last like six or seven games. He was shooting the puck a bit. But now with this news, and it's not like the Blackhawks have to ship him to get first overall pick. I mean, they're on their way with him, you know, in the lineup most of the way. So they could hang on. Maybe he wants to be part of the rebuild. I'd probably cut my ties, especially if I was outside. I mean, and you may be, because you probably drafted him fairly early. So if you have him and you're not looking like you're going to make the playoffs, you need to start streaming and pick up other guys and just kind of cut your ties with what is a really good hockey player.
There's still about 2 months left before the deadline. It's January 12th today. The deadline is March 3rd. So even if he were to have a procedure and be out a couple of weeks, I still think he's going to be a really hot commodity, assuming that he wants to get traded. I don't know why he wouldn't want to get traded, but it seems like there's that type of storyline where maybe he spent his whole career in Chicago and maybe he just wants to stay there and be a part of a rebuild. So we'll see how that happens. You know, the Blackhawks have not been a very good team at all. So it'd be nice to see him playing on a contender. It'd be nice to see Erik Karlsson playing for a contender in the playoffs, but maybe we won't get our wish on either of those two guys, unfortunately. When you look at, you know, some of the trends going on right now, and one that kind of pertains to the Kane situation, this Chris Kreider injury is really interesting. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but it seems like, Chris, maybe this could be the last chance for Alexis Lafreniere to, you know, prove that he's a top six player with the Rangers and make them make a tough decision, right? Like, it sounds like he's going to fill in on the top line in the net front on the first power play. Is there any appeal to picking this guy up, whether you hope he gets traded or not? I mean, it's a good opportunity for him.
It is. I don't think I'm there. I don't know. I play a lot of fantasy hockey, guys, and I have some teams that are in shambles. I'm not going to lie. Like, some teams are good. Some teams are in shambles. And even the teams that are not great, I probably won't go there. But it is a real opportunity for him. There's no question, Pete. I mean, he played 18:02 in his last game. He is going to get an opportunity here on this top line, at least inside the top six, maybe some first power play time to kind of get going and prove himself. He's just, I don't know what it is. I'm not ready to say he's a bust. You know, there's a lot of hype with these first overall picks, of course, especially, you know, if they have good World Juniors and things like that, which Lafreniere did. It's just, he just hasn't been able to find like a home here, like no chemistry with any guys. He's been on the first, second, third, fourth. It's not like this is the first time he's had an opportunity to play, you know, big minutes. But at the same time, this is a guy you're going to want to monitor. I don't think he's an immediate add. I think in deeper leagues, 14 teams, I think in keeper leagues, you're a little bit more patient with him potentially. In DFS, you're thinking about him because he's min price and he's going to get an opportunity. And the schedule, I mean, there's some soft games coming up for them. Tonight, Dallas, Montreal, Columbus after that. So maybe he can get going in those two games.
Yeah, he's definitely not Alex Tagg just yet, but I laugh because I have in my notes, Alexis Lafreniere could find himself in the top six for the 300th time. We've done this dance like seven times in this podcast in the last 6 weeks, so I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt this time. But anyways, I think externally, Pete, there are a lot of replacement options for Kane, Chris Kreider, who are both wingers. Adrian Kempe's been on fire with LA. Lucas Raymond has 10 points in his last 10. Jordan Eberle, four-game point streak for him. Brandon Hagel has 13 points in the past 12. So fortunately, fantasy owners can recover from these type of injuries right now, Pete.
Yeah, they can. I would be locked into what the LA Kings are doing. They look like a really strong offense. The veteran core is producing. Kopitar again. If you watched the game last night, you probably saw the best game of Quentin Byfield's NHL career with a multi-point game playing on the wing instead of center. So that's a interesting wrinkle, Chris, right? So Byfield, Kopitar, and who's the other one? Was it Kempe? So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if that sticks. So I would go out there and maybe that's like a low risk, high reward ad in Quentin Byfield, maybe to replace Kreider or just to tap into a really trendy team out there. I believe the LA Kings moved into a point tie last night. They played a couple more games, but they moved into a point tie with the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. That is pretty amazing considering where they were about a month ago with that horrible losing streak.
Yeah, I pretty much almost ripped up my 45-1 Kings long shot Stanley Cup ticket before the season started because they couldn't get any goaltending. It's like they just couldn't. But now they are playing their best hockey of the season. I like the way that their lines have shaped up. They got Fiala, Vilardi, and then they have, as you mentioned, Quentin Byfield called up, get an opportunity to play with Kempe and Kopitar. And you know what? The second line has really impressed me over the last little bit. I know Victor Arvidsson didn't play last night, but Philip Deneau, I think he's got points in maybe 10 of his last 12, roughly in around there. Alex Iafallo is shooting a puck quite a bit. Like, he's a sneaky plus money shot prop of late. I think he put another four pucks on net last night. So this Kings team's playing pretty good. And also, I don't want to overlook what Nick said about the Kraken, and he just kind of tossed out a couple players there. There are only two players over 50% owned in Yahoo leagues. This is the number three scoring team in the NHL. That's right, the Kraken, number three in the NHL, number one in 5-on-5 goals per 60 minutes. We're all shaking our heads here. Like, what? Seriously? Because you look up and down the lineup, there's a lot of balance, but Matty Berniers, maybe I should have drafted him in the NHL show that we did with you guys. We could have Berniers. Like, this guy's playing really good. Jordan Eberle's kind of turned back the clock. Bjorkowski's more of a pass first guy, but he's like hitting the score sheet. They're getting contributions up and down their lineup, and they play in a lot of fun fantasy environment games because they're not really getting the goaltending. Like, they're pretty stingy. They don't allow a lot, 5-on-5. Especially high danger chances. It'd be a really nice matchup tonight against the Bruins to see where they stack up against a legitimate team. But this is a team that is pretty deep, and like Vince Dunn, his ownership, he's probably gone. Even Justin Schultz, like he's certainly available, and that's a guy that's getting some power play time as well. The Kraken, they got some, it's mostly deep league guys, I think, that can help you out, but that top line definitely needs to be owned. And if you're in our faceoff league, Yanni Gord's like a top 30 player in that setting over the past month.
Yeah, Gord is another guy I was going to bring up. Last year, my saying was fade the Kraken. Now it's fear the Kraken. They've won six in a row, not to mention the rumors of potentially them going after like a Bo Horvat. They need a center and they want to reward their players. Oh, like, this is starting to become an interesting story in the fact that they look more so like Vegas from their inaugural season than they did last year when they really, really struggled. And of course, landed Matty Beniers. So everything is fine and dandy. You talk about Seattle. I streamed Martin Jones the other night. The numbers aren't always going to be there, but man, I got a really primo matchup against the Montreal Canadiens, and I got that donut. So I ask you this, and there's nothing confirmed on this, by the way, but we always like when young netminders potentially make their debuts. Yaroslav Askarov was called up by the Nashville Predators on Wednesday. I believe something's up with their backup Lankinen. 13-6-2, 266, 905, two shutouts, in the American Hockey League. Would that be a guy you would potentially stream against the Montreal Canadiens, who I would set the over-under on, what, six wins for the rest of the season?
I'd stream you, dude. Against the Montreal Canadiens if you strapped on the pads tonight. It's funny. A lot of my buddies will message me and be like, thanks for the free win. Like Jaroslav Halak struggling this year, played against the Habs. Thanks for the free win. Martin Jones, thanks for the free win. And the talk in the chat was the Preds had a back-to-back. UC Saros would go against the Leafs, pick up Lankin, and you get a free W again. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that situation. I saw some video of rookies like doing some sides like on the pads, like this as goalies. You saw the same thing.
Yeah,
it looks like a beast. First round pick, right? I don't know. I don't think they're showcasing him or anything, but no. Saros is amazing. Like he's been so good this year. But if this is just a one spot stream, if you can afford it, go ahead. Because you're right, the Habs are just. Oh man, they're so bad. Yeah, I would say they probably, I'd take maybe the over on the 6.5, but I'd definitely take the under at 10.
Yeah, I'm on the over. And Pete, I wanted to ask you too, because you love your tandems. How would you quantify or handicap that tandem in the future, thinking it's going to be Saros and Askarov in between the place or Nashville?
It's almost like any concerns I have about the skater group are out the window, because I think that is the best goalie tandem in the NHL, maybe immediately, certainly years down the road. I mean, Saros the other day had like 64 save.
He's incredible, man.
He has 64 save game or something like that. So,
yeah.
And looked good last night, of course, against the Maple Leafs as well. They were just talking about him all game, raving about him. So, I mean, I think that Saros is still top five, top 10 goalie in the league. And this kid, you know, we know the pipeline, right? All the great Russian goaltenders that have thrived in the NHL, including Kochetkov, including Sorokin, including Shesterkin and Vasilevsky, and the list goes on. Oof. So he's the next man up, and excited to see how these guys can work together, right? So, I mean, Rinne worked with Saros for so many years, and they both perform well. So now this could be the next stepping stone for the franchise for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and looking at this Preds team too, if you're in a points league, I mean, I've been surprised that they're on a bit of a run. Like they're winning games. I know they lost last night, but they hung around with the Leafs. They lost late in that game, and they'll most likely get a W tonight. But this is a team that's given up a lot of rubber lately. Like Saros has been fantastic. And over the last 6 weeks, like only the Ducks have allowed more shot attempts at 5-5 than the Nashville Predators, which is amazing to think about because of some of the players that they do have on their team. But Forsberg is feeling it. And we'll see. It could be, I would agree right away, maybe one of the better tandems in the league.
You love your cheeky props, Ben. One thing I've been hitting as of late is UC Saros over saves. He has 30 plus saves in 7 of his 9 past 9 appearances. So somewhere I would look, it's not going to be Saros again against Montreal. So it's a spirited debate, as you know, in our country and I'm sure in the States too, the Hart Trophy. And we're only midway through this season. I believe Wednesday was the official midway point. And means already the conversation has started. What if Edmonton misses the playoffs? This Connor McDavid, is he still eligible? Like you just look at his numbers, they're surreal. He's on pace for 66, 67 goals, 150 plus points. The last Hart Trophy winner, by the way, not to make the playoffs, 1988, and some guy named Mario Lemieux. So it's been a long period of time. But I ask you in full in this question, is there more value in others like Pasternak and Thompson and Robertson than there is in Connor McDavid if he doesn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think from a betting standpoint, there's certainly more value in those other guys, you know, especially if maybe Rupe Hintz misses a little bit of time here and then Jason Robertson still continues this and Dallas is able to win the division. I know Colorado's on the outside looking in, but I feel like that's a team that's going to make a run here. It's tough, man, what McDavid is doing. I mean, even watching him last night, he just looked against a Ducks team that's been so awful this year. He just looked possessed. He looked agitated. He looked mad. He put 8 shots on net. They were up 6-2, and he was still trying very, very hard to score. As a guy who had a Zach Hyman shot prop last night and didn't get it, that team was still all over Anaheim. Like McDavid, they even loaded him up in the third period where they kind of split up the trio, McDavid, Drysdale, and Hyman. Yeah. There was a point last night where they're up 6-2 and they put them together in the third and all three of them were just all over the net. I'm like, wow, I don't know if they're trying to pad stats or they're just ticked. So it's weird. Like you said, 1988, it's not like other sports where in baseball, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, these teams, Giancarlo Stanton comes to mind, Bryce Harper, these guys won MVPs with their teams not making the playoffs, but man, if McDavid puts up over 150 points, how do you not give it to him? But at the same time, if this Oilers team doesn't make the playoffs and he puts up 150 points, I mean, what are we even doing here? So I think if you're looking for value, Tage Thompson still is very interesting to me, especially if this Sabres team finds a way to make the playoffs. It's really hard to ignore what he is doing. He's going to be right there, maybe with McDavid or ahead of him in terms of the most goals, maybe win the Rocket. I don't want to say they're a one-line team, but most of their contributions from that top line, Tage has a big percentage of his team's goals, and they still give up a whole lot. Like, Craig Anderson's been great, but defensively, they still have a lot of issues. So I if you're looking for value, I'd go the other way. But Nick, I think McDavid probably wins it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I won't lie, Pete, I ordered Skip after seeing Tage Thompson get granted right wing eligibility in fantasy hockey. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling great about that, fellas.
Is this Sabres top line, win or lose any given game? Is this the best line trio in the entire NHL? It really might be. I mean, it's up there with Dallas's. You mentioned Hintz banged up. So maybe right now where we stand, I mean, Thompson, Tuck, and Skinner all well better than a point per game this season. Not many people could have ever expected that. Off the lines of what you were saying earlier, Chris, I should have picked Alex Tuck in our preseason draft, because my team name,
that's right,
the Tuck rule was named after him, of course. But so maybe that's a mistake on my end. But yeah, and then just a note on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I was disappointed that they sent him down. Sounds like they're still going to carry three goalies for the rest of the season, but they sent him down and then they played Anderson and Comrie and lost back-to-back home games. Just feels like the balloon popped a little bit, right? Do you have faith in the Sabres to keep their recent stretch before this little blip going, Chris? You know, whether it's futures to make the playoffs or different awards markets, we've been talking about it all season. I feel like they're are opportunities to be had to tap into Buffalo, even outside of Tage Thompson.
Yeah, there is. I was big on, not huge, but Luukkonen's a guy that I wrote about a couple of weeks ago. You know, Sabres give up a lot, and you know, he's playing really good. And there were some games where he gave up a couple goals, but there was, I think, a back-to-back he had against the Golden Knights and the Avs. And I know both of those teams were a little shorthanded with some firepower, you know, normally there that wasn't, but I thought he played really good. I think he's going to be back. They can't be rolling out Comrie. Like, no disrespect, but they can't be rolling him out if they really want to make a playoff run here. And Craig Anderson's actually been really good. He has been, and he's surprisingly widely available in Yahoo leagues and ESPN leagues. The save percentage is solid. He gets enough run support, you know, to pick up a win or two here and there. I don't think that they're going to get into the playoffs. I mean, it's January 12th. We already know the Leafs are playing the Lightning. Bruins are in. Hurricanes, Devils, Rangers. I mean, the Capitals are going on a little bit of a run. The Penguins are very, very inconsistent. Long losing streak, winning streak. It's like back and forth. It doesn't seem to be like they can't stop that big losing skid. If they can just avoid the three-game losing streaks in Pittsburgh, maybe they get in. Washington's fully healthy now, although a tough loss last night to Philly. I would say the Sabres probably missed the boat, but they're certainly on their way. They got a lot of nice pieces.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely like their progression, but ultimately that's what it comes down to for me, is just who are they taking out if they're making the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know they have games in hand, but you got to take care of those games in hand, and you can't lose a back-to-back the way they did earlier this week. So from a success story, I'd love to see it happen, but I just, I don't know, Pete, I think they're going to fall short. There's plenty of hockey left, but it's just more so for me, like, who are they taking out, Pete?
Yeah, and it's even going to be tough, you know, for a team like Detroit as well, and maybe even a team like the Islanders. Islanders have exceeded our expectations. They're not, you know, they're not playing that well right now, but they're still in that, like, fringe for the playoffs. But, like, I don't even have confidence in them, really. So, yeah, someone's going to have to come out like Pittsburgh and, you know, with their resiliency and stuff. I just don't see it, to be honest. Chris, one question. We always take fan questions here on the show. I thought it was interesting, as we're at the halfway mark of the season, before we let you go, buy low defensemen. We saw Mo Sider the other day have a 4-assist game. Aaron Ekblad is in the depths of our rankings. I never would have expected to see not only Montour, but also Forsling ranked ahead of him at the halfway point. Which guy do you like better if you're projecting for the rest of the season, if you have an opportunity to buy low on either Sider or the Panthers defenseman in Aaron Ekblad after their big win against the Avalanche the other day?
I think they're both really good buy lows. I picked up Sutter in one league. I was surprised that he was available. He's still been doing some things, you know, in terms of like those other categories, hits and blocks and shots. And he's been on the first power play, off the first power play. Nick mentioned earlier, what, Raymond, 10 points, last 10. That's kind of surprising. I didn't really, you know, I kind of glossed over that. So maybe, you know, with Tyler Bertuzzi back in the lineup, maybe this top six can kind of get going. Maybe those three in Larkin, Bertuzzi and Raymond can create some old chemistry that they had last year, and maybe the power play gets going and that benefits Sider. But I think the answer is Ekblad. I believe he has the highest ceiling out of, you know, between the two. Yeah, Montour has been great. Forsling's been great. Those guys kind of get some power play time as well. This Florida team is, that's another one, right? Are they into the playoffs at 42 points? Do they find a way to get in? I don't think they do, but offensively they can still bring it. So he is ranked the last 30 days, I'm checking, 248. So he is definitely available. There's a lot of guys here. I know Morgan Riley's missed some time. Devon Taves, he's missed a little bit of time. Quinn Hughes, mostly just a guy that's going to help you in a points league, not going to do a whole lot. But these guys are well outside the top 200 over the last month. So I think some of those big names could be had. My answer would be Ekblad.
It's so hard to find stud defensemen, right? Like, I think I would side more in the favor of Mo Sider, just more so because of what we've seen in the first half and knowing what he can do and put together. As for Florida, I think my concern with Ekblad is the fact that those names you just mentioned, Montour has been incredible this year. Forsling's really stepped up at bits and pieces. There's multiple options, as when you look in Detroit, Philip Hronek had that steady run, but still, we all know this is Mo Sider's blue line. And I think in the second half, he is primed for something special. You mentioned and referenced the 4-assist game. I think he's going to build off that, Pete.
I agree. I would go Sider. I like Ekblad, but it's a crowded situation on the team, and I don't really trust the team. I actually think Detroit could make a nice push here, whether or not they address anything or at the deadline, whether or not they get Jacob Vrana back at any point. I do think that offense is flashy. You even see like Robbie Fabry come in and have a couple of goals since coming back from another long-term injury absence. So they got a lot of weapons to work with in Detroit. I think the offense is going to uptick for Sider. And the good thing about Sider, better category coverage than Ekblad,
sure,
and he stays healthy. Ekblad, you certainly can't say the same. So Chris, you're always active with all the bets and picks and stuff like that. Before we say goodbye, just wanted to see if there's anything at the midway point in the awards races that you have a specific number on that you really love, whether it's the Calder race or the Jack Adams or the Rocket Richard or any type of futures bet like that heading into the second half.
Well, let's just take a quick look here live on the fly. I mean, there's no value, I don't think, anymore at the Calder. I really don't think so. I think it's Matty Berniers and that's really it. I just don't feel like anybody else is going to be. I liked Logan Thompson for a little bit, and he's going to end up having a really good season, and his numbers are going to be really good, and Vegas is going to make the playoffs. And I just don't feel like he's going to get the award unless something happens to Matty Berniers. So that's really it. In terms of other awards, I don't know, man. I don't really see a ton of value. Like, we had Tage Thompson at 40-1 about a month ago to win the Rocket. And, you know, as of now, he's, you know, you can get him in some spots at 10-1, but there still isn't a ton of value there across the board. Pasternak's plus 280. Like, it's Bo Horvat. Can he keep this up? I mean, he's second in the NHL in shooting percentage. I don't know. Maybe he does keep it up because it's a contract year. We can have some fun with that talk, and maybe he does get shipped off to another team where he's surrounded around some pretty good players. But I don't think there's a ton of value when it comes to awards. But if you want like some value in terms of Stanley Cups, I mean, Stanley Cup futures, you still get the Hurricanes at 10-1.
Yeah.
We still like, I mean, I like that team quite a bit.
Pretty damn good. Yeah.
The Rangers at 16-1, I think, is pretty interesting as well. Longer shots, again, the Kings are still hanging out there at 35-1. If you believe in their goaltending, I don't think it's probably just a little sprinkle, but I think there's still really good value on the Hurricanes. And I wanted to mention the Avs with you guys, not so much as a Stanley Cup, you know, future bet, 6-1. But what I've noticed, and I'm sure you guys are well aware, like with everybody that's been out of their lineup, up and down outside of the playoffs, they have the second lowest shooting percentage at 5-5. I think they're going to make a heck of a run here down the stretch. You probably can't buy Rantanen and you can't buy McKinnon, but Evan Rodriguez is 17% owned in Yahoo leagues. He's got center, left and right. Lekkonen may be hanging around your waiver wire. People may have just cut their ties from Nichushkin because he was out of the lineup. He's going to come back very soon. Bowen Byram skating again. I think this Avs team is going to go on a run in the second half. And I just feel like you want to have as many players on their team as possible from like a fantasy standpoint. I think Rodriguez is a guy that can help you out.
Yeah, I'm going to start hitting the over and potentially the puck line. Georgiev has been letting goals left and right the last little while, and Colorado getting into track meets again. So I would hint towards the over moving forward for Colorado, but I like that assessment. Means you're always bang on. Again, thanks so much for hopping on. We'll talk soon, okay?
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Always great to catch up with Chris. He's always working that FTN network bet tracker and coming up with some great finds. So we appreciate him taking the time as always. Looking at the Avalanche and what he was saying, I know we were saying a couple of shows ago how, you know, they're never dead in the race for things like the President's Trophy. Maybe that's a little far-fetched right now because of how good Boston is, but you could still see they have a couple of games in hand, Nick. I think 3 games in hand on the top of the Central Division. They're about 12, 13 points back. So that's something where if over the course of time you see guys start returning, Bowen Byram, you hear he's skating, Landeskog down the road, hopefully Nichushkin's back soon. All of a sudden these guys get back together. Maybe they make a move at the deadline. They could catch a team like Dallas at the top of the Central.
Yeah, for sure. And I think right now they're pacing themselves, right? We see this a lot from teams like Tampa and others who have been there before, if you will. And, you know, I know time is running out, and I do think Colorado is going to figure it out. When you have McKinnon, when you have Makar, when you have, you know, guys like Rantanen, I think they're going to pull this team and they're going to bring them to a playoff spot, number one, and also to more value spot. And I think you're right on the President's Trophy, but I think the division title, weirdly enough, is still within reach for the Colorado Avalanche, certainly a team we're both on here in the second half of the regular season. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? That is the question. It's time now for the Delivery of the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
I like what the Sharks offense is doing, despite the fact that they're a non-contending team. So I'll go with Alexander Barabanov. He's been playing when healthy on the first power play. And when I watch this team, the power play, of course, first and foremost revolves around Erik Karlsson, who's on pace for 100 plus points this season as a defenseman. But then like the second guy that seems to be a focal point seems to be Barabanov. And he's on a 6-game point streak this past week, rostered in fewer than 10% of Yahoo leagues. So get all over this guy. I don't think anybody's gravitating towards the Sharks, but they've been a sneaky offense, win or lose, and Barabanov's a big part of it.
I love that. Those sneaky San Jose Sharks. Speaking of sneaky, the Seattle Kraken, who have won 6 in a row to start 2023. I'm looking at Matty Beniers, who I think right now we both agree is the front runner for the Calder Trophy, a 5-game point streak, a 5-game goal streak, 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points, 2 power play points, 1 game winning goal. And most importantly, for somebody who loves shot props, 13 shots on goal in the last 5 games for Matty Beniers. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Also, comment below who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week, Pete.
And Nick, just a reminder for those listeners up in Canada, we've launched a new daily free-to-play game called NHL Pre-Play, presented by bet99.ca, where you can win great daily prizes, money can't buy NHL game experiences, and up to $100,000 cash prize. Submit your picks every day at nhl.com/NHL Pre-Play for a chance to win. Great show as always. It was always great to catch up with Meanie, and we'll be back again next week, man. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, the clock is ticking towards NHL All-Star Weekend and Sunrise. Can't wait, but a great show, and we'll talk next week, Pete.
That is going to be a blast. We'll be down there early February. It's coming up on the horizon for sure. So for Chris Meanie, remember, follow his work at FTN Network. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL, and we'll talk to you again next week.